This is Wednesday morning, April the 16th at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm talking with Frank Joe. And Frank, is this your whole name?
I have a middle name, which is Bell, but I usually put it as initial as a B in the middle name.
How did you come about your name, do you know?
Well, my grandmother gave me the name Frank, and I have two grandfathers. They died several years back, and I had their last name. And the one that I had as Bell was from Eben Bell, who was my grandfather. I got that Bell name, the last name, the Bell, from him. Then I had a grandfather named Jasper Joe, which I got it from him. So it turned out that it was to be that way ever since then.
Have you got any, are you known by any other names?
Well, I have a nickname, which is Wishbone. But ever since, my uncles is the one who calls me that, but they don't hardly use it anymore since I've been called Frank, and that's the only name I've been using.
Do you have a Choctaw name?
No.
So they don't, and your nickname is just, was used back when you were younger?
Something like that, yes. Yeah.
And let's talk about your family now. Is your mother and father living?
Yeah, I have a father who's a disabled, and a mother still living.
Frank, before we was interrupted, let's get back to what we were talking about. We were talking about your parents. So, what was your mother's maiden name before she married?
She was a Bell before she got married to my father, and she was the daughter to Aiden Bell.
What's her name?
Emma Jo.
Emma. And what age is your mama now?
She's in mid-50s, I believe it is.
And your dad, what age is he now?
He's in 60s right now.
Is he late 60?
He's in, he's going into 61 right now, I believe, so.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers and one sister. My brother, Albert Joe, he's the oldest. He has a family of his own. Another brother of mine, Enos, has his own family. And I have a sister, Bessie. She's about to have her own family right now.
What age is your brother?
Albert Joe is about 27 now, and Eunice, he's 25 years old. And my sister, she's 21, I believe it was. She'll be 21 the 29th of May.
And are they all out of school?
They're all out of school.
What about you? What about your grandparents? Do you have any grandparents living?
No. The last one that died was about 6 years back somewhere.
Who was that now?
That was my grandmother, who was Sally. Sally Joe.
And how old was she when she passed?
She was about 95. I'd say between 90 to 100, somewhere in between, but I'd say she was 95.
Did you talk with her much?
No, she was ill for a long time, so all we did was visit her, and we try to help her as much as we can, but she was going down, so there was no way we could cheer her up like we wanted to, and she died in the hospital.
And who, what about your other grandparents?
There was my, Evan Bells was my, he died several years back, but I've known him for a while because he lived with us, and his wife died when my mother told me that his wife died when they were about 6 years old or somewhere, so it's been a long time.
How old was he when he passed away?
He was in 65 somewhere.
Did your grandparents that you knew, did they speak very much English?
Even Ben speak a pretty good English, but my other grandparents they mostly grew up speaking Choctaw language, and they don't hardly know mostly about English like they're supposed to.
Well, where were y'all raised?
I was raised in the Kemper County area for about 20 years, something like that. And I stayed up there. My grandfather, my father's been up there for about, I don't know, it's been quite a while.
Were y'all raised on a farm?
Yes, we were a sharecropper.
Is this the only kind of work your dad ever did?
Well, before he started farming, he worked as a, he worked with some crew cutting pulpwood somewhere, but decided to follow his father's footsteps being a sharecropper, and I guess we mostly grew up with being a sharecropper.
And you're talking about your brothers. What are they doing now?
Well, Enos, he's a teacher's aide right now, and my brother Albert, he's working over at the Weyerhaeuser, and he's a laborer or something like that. And my sister, she's a housewife. Yeah.
How much education did the children have of the family?
Well, my brother Albert went up to fifth grade when he got married, and my brother Enos finished high school. Went on to be one of those some type of beautician or something like that. My sister went on to eighth grade, and she dropped out. And she's been going out to them. Adult education night class over at Lake Chill. But I believe she's expecting a baby pretty soon, so I imagine she'll wait until afterwards before she continues her education again.
And then yourself, did you finish school?
I myself finished high school. And for the first semester, I took a college courses, but that was the only education that I've got for myself, which is not enough, I don't think.
But what kind of work do you do now?
I'm working over at the dormitory as a boys' supervisor. In other words, it's a working with the boys mostly from each community, and so far I liked it. I've been over there for about, ever since last February was the year, 1 year that I've been up there, so I think possibly, I don't know if I'll be up there for a long time, but I'm going to try to be there as much as I could.
But after you finished school, what did you do? What kind of employment did you?
I worked over at the hospital for about a year before I applied for a teacher over in Brookshire as a Head Start teacher. And I've got that job. And about a year later, I had to let it go because I was interested in police work. And I've worked with them for about a year or something like that before they transferred me to a dormitory down there to work with the boys.
So you came from police work straight to the dormitory?
Yes, sir.
Well, what is your plans as far as the future is concerned, as far as employment is concerned?
Well, I'm hoping I can go back to being as a policeman for the reservation down here or back over at Brookshire Community. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and keep on working until if there's a position open for another policeman, I'd like to apply for it again. And so far, I'm going to go ahead and stick with the dormitory again.
What about your mother and father's education? Did they have any?
My father went without an education for a long time, and my mother, she finished first grade, I believe it was, and that was the only education she's got.
Was those in bureau schools?
Yes, that was when they had some type of a first grade. That was the first time they had a school down there too. I believe that's what she told me. And the first grade was the only education she's got.
Where did you get your education? Where did you start your education?
I started mine over at Brookshire School in 1959. I started out being a first grader, beginner, then a first grader, on up to sixth grade. Then after sixth grade, Brookshire has only from beginner on to sixth grade, I believe it was. And after I finished up there, I came on to Choctaw Central High School, where I started my junior high, and I went on until I finished high school up there.
What do you remember most about your elementary school over Bochino?
Well, I guess being one of those smart aleck type, I guess I usually got into trouble with my teacher. But after remembering for this long, I guess it's something I did wrong. And that when I got to eighth grade, it looks like things got harder on me because I didn't work with the teachers like I was supposed to and do my work. And that's what got me down. And afterwards, I started being a nice guy for about until I finished high school or something like that, you know.
When you were in your school years, were you Did you live at home or did you live away from home?
Well, from first grade on up to sixth grade, I stayed mostly at home. Then I believe it was seventh and eighth grade that I stayed in a dormitory at the Bokchita School. And after eighth grade, I came on down to Choctaw Central. And they first built a dormitory down there. I guess I was the first person from up here to be up there when it was open. So I stayed up there for, I guess I could have called it my home, because I stayed up there during summer. I didn't get to go home like I wanted to, because I didn't want to. But what I did was that I stayed up there until I graduated. So I didn't hardly go home, you know, until I wanted to. Only time I went home though is that it's the time when I feel like it, or if I needed to help my mother pay the bill, is when I went.
Are y'all a pretty close-knit family?
I guess we are. Coming from a strict family, I guess we are mostly being closed. And it's been that way ever since then. And but sometimes we have our problems of communicating with each other, though. I guess that's the way the family are raised. And I guess that I could say we've been a close family for a long time. I go out to see them once in a while, but not too often.
Were you ever told by your grandparents or anything of any stories of anything of any nature about things that happened a long time ago?
Well, I really can't say, because what I've been told is that it's something that we were told to watch out for ourselves, like not get in trouble when, but that was the only thing that I've been told, other than, they've been through for themselves, when they were pretty young.
What about your parents? Did they offer you any suggestions?
Only thing they gave me was that when they told me to stay out of trouble as much as I can, and that don't go around drinking, you know. But that was the only thing that they offered me as suggestions, and that they told me to take care of my family when I got married. And I guess that was the only suggestions I had.
Who did you marry?
I married a girl from a Redwater community. That was Ike Billy's granddaughter. And her name was Minnie Pearl Wilson. And I went with her for about 5 years before we got married. And I guess we knew mostly what we expect from each other, and that so we had things mostly going our way. And I've been married about 4 years now, but we haven't got any children of our own.
You do have some foster children?
We have two foster children right now. The other one went to Neshoba Central elementary school over in Philadelphia. Her name is Janice, and she's a 7-year-old. She's in the second grade. I have another one. Her name is Mary Helen. She's a 4-year-old now, and I'm planning to send her to a Head Start program. But so far, nothing has been worked out like I wanted to, so imagine she has to wait for her.
What's that full name?
Mary Helen is and Janice, and their last name is Hall, and they are the granddaughter of Herbert Hall. Their mother is Magdalene Hall, and she's in the Greenwood area now. So I don't know if they're gonna get them back, but for myself, I think I'm gonna go ahead and try to adopt them as soon as possible, and I hope that it can work out for me that way.
Have you already applied?
We applied for one, but they turned us down because of her. If the mother decides to, if she didn't want anybody to adopt her, she has to put some sort of word in there if she wants us to go ahead and adopt her. But so far, nothing's been worked out.
And you and your wife are living where now?
We live in Bokjira right now. And I'm hoping if we can get a house out here somewhere, that we can move up here to where we'd be a lot closer to our jobs. And I'm hoping that we can send the children to an Indian school up here at Chakra Central.
And what type of work is your wife doing with this?
She's a nurse's aide right now. She works with the nurses over in the Indian Hospital down there.
Has she had any training as for a nurse?
She's right now. She's taking a training on that. I believe it's career. Something about the career program over that's been going on for a while now over at the Indian Reservation. So she's on that training deal, and she's right now she's working as a train. She's taking a training as a nurse's aide.
And y'all are living, you say, in Bokjira community. What type of home are you living in?
We're living in one of those low rent houses right now. It's a brick house, has a 3-bedroom, and but so far the house looks small.
in comparison with the way you were raised and what you were raised in, how does this house compare?
Well, if we have an air conditioner in there during summer, it would help, but we run in our fan, which helps us a lot, but if we don't have anything during summer, it gets hot in there. Then during the winter time, it's cold in there if we don't have any heater. But I guess I like to go back living the same way I did before they built the brick houses. Because I think I got used to it, where even though it's cold, where you try to keep warm, you know.
Did you, what about a fireplace? Did y'all have a fireplace when you were growing up?
That's what I've grown up with, toting firewood and building a fire, which now we have to turn the meter on in order for heaters to be laid out from that place. And try to keep the house warm.
So the new house has no fireplace?
No. I'm hoping maybe we can work it out some way here in the future and build a fireplace in there so we can burn firewood. And I guess that's the most special thing that I've been missing for a long time.
Well, what's the most expensive thing about living like you live now?
Well, the rent, no, that the whole utilities and everything is the most expensive thing that we've been running into since we've been living in that brick house. When we were living in the old houses, we had a fireplace. We didn't have no running water. All we had was a well, which we got our water from. So I imagine the house rent, utilities, and light bill is the most expensive thing I'm running into right now, which we didn't have several years back.
What about your mother and father? They living in an old house now or a new house?
No, they're living in a brick house too, which is next door from where I live. And it's about 15 yards from where I live, so they're my next door neighbors now.
You see them almost every day?
Almost every day. I have a little girl that goes up there and stays up there mostly all day when we work. After I come to work, she goes up there and stays with me until about 4-5 o'clock that afternoon when she comes back.
When you were going to school, when did you first become aware that you were an Indian?
Well, I guess I was in about second grade somewhere before I found out that we were a lot different from white people and black people. So, and that after looking back to where our ancestor was, that's when I first started noticing that we weren't compared to what the blacks and the whites are now.
So you think you was in about the second grade?
I was in the second grade. Yeah.
But do you remember anything particularly that happened back then that made you aware that you was an Indian?
Yes. Right then, I didn't hardly know how to speak English like I wanted to, and I guess we was mostly grown up with Choctaw language, and that was the time that I started noticing that our language were different, you know, and that we were being looked at as another person coming into coming into the world, I guess. And that's the time that I noticed our speech was different from whites.
Were you ever told anything about by your grandparents or your mother and father about your language?
No, but I guess looking at the other tribe from a different reservation, I noticed they have a different language, even though they're Indian. So I guess it's something that we were told to grow up with, and I guess that was mostly the only thing that I have been growing up with me.
What do you remember most about your elementary school at Boakchillam?
Well, I remember that I had a teacher by the name of Mrs. McKay, and she used to run a test for, I guess, for us to, we used to have a test of some sort on taste and food and everything. So each time she brings in a cracker, and she made us taste that, and if she wanted us to tell what how the taste is, and one time she wanted somebody to participate in tasting that food. So I guess I was the only person that enjoyed eating, so I volunteered to go in there, and that was the time I started eating crackers. I didn't know anything about crackers until she brought it out, so that's the only thing I can remember.
What about you when you left Boakchillam and came over to Central, Choctaw Central? What did you remember most about Choctaw Central?
There are several things that I can remember now, but it's something that I still remember. One time, I was in the seventh grade. The teacher was Mrs. Sharp, and she wanted to pull out my gray hair, which I had. That was the only gray hair I had when she wanted to pull that. I didn't want her to, and she kind of got ticklish on me with that. So that's the thing that I remember now. I was in seventh grade. Then in eighth grade, I was in Mrs. Comiskey was my teacher. I had one boy sitting in front of me who shook me with a rubber band. That's the paper rolled up on me. I kind of got mad at him, so I had to find me a rubber band. I chewed up all the paper that I had and rolled it into one. And I was going to shoot at him, and he ducked on me, so the spitball I had went on through and hit my teacher. And the teacher came down there and slapped this boy's face in front of me, even though it wasn't his fault. But I guess that's the only thing I remember from my eighth grade. Then on that trip, we took a trip down to New Orleans one time. And down there, I went up to this fella, asked him for I can find a trash can. And he was a Frenchman, and he didn't know anything about the English. And when I came to him, I asked him what a trash can was. And he talked me French, and I didn't understand. So I just got out, and he's speak to him or anything. That's the only thing I can remember now.
Well, what about in high school, in senior high?
Well, we took a trip down to, actually, during the senior trip, we went to Atlanta, Georgia. Then we went on to Washington, D.C., then on up to New York City. And coming back from New York, we went to Natural Bridge, Virginia. From there, we came on down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where we went out to that Lookout Mountain, and a place where they call a Devil's Leap.
See, and you worked with me in when you were what, a junior and senior?
I was in ninth grade when I started working with you, Mr. Hucks. Yeah. That was when they had NYC program that's been going on ever since then, I believe.
How long did you work with me?
I'd say about 3 years, something like that.
What do you remember most about working
with me? I had a time going out to spend the night in a motel, working with the girls' softball, men's softball. The only thing I remember, I'll never forget this, when we got chewed up by Jim Diddy.
Was that your first time to ever stay away in a motel?
I was in Ohio and I spent the night in a motel. So it's not something that I've been stranger to. I was in the motel. But I kind of liked it being away from the bunker for one day or one night.
Is there anything else you remember about these days?
Well, I remember one time me and my brother Enos were working with you over in the recreation program, and we got you that June Bitter. But I guess we had, we called a ball game, and calling strikes, being an umpire was the only thing I liked, though. Turn the lights on. But I guess that was the good old days.
But now, do you do anything, participate in anything that you did back in those days?
Well, I think I've been putting down some on the softball. Now that I'm the manager of the baseball team that I'm starting. And right now we entered the independent league over here. I set aside mostly all my sports that I've been wanting to participate. So, baseball is the only thing that I've been participating in this fall season.
What's the name of your team that you manage on?
My team is the Braves. We don't have any first name. All we had was this Braves that we are thought of. And we'll go ahead and stick to that.
In most cases, the team that you're working with, is most everybody on your team related?
Yes, we're mostly cousins, I believe, and we're mostly kin folks down there. But some of these boys that we've got from down here are not related to us, but they wanted to play with somebody who can be there on time and that they can play pretty good. So I guess we must have had some boys coming down from different communities.
Has this been most of the practice throughout the years to get everybody together that's related?
No. It's something that it's something like being buddies to everybody, I guess. We didn't have a chance of getting together with other communities like was supposed to, so I guess we'll go ahead and call it buddies and being relatives and mostly.
Well, let me ask you, when can you remember back? You said you remembered when you became conscious that you were an Indian. When have you been the most proudest that you were an Indian?
Well, one time, we were, I guess, the time I read about the history of being us being down here, and at one time I saw something that got me to where I got thinking back, and I find out that we were the first American to be living down here. But that was the only time that I noticed that I was proud of myself of being called the first American. Looks we got 2 minutes on that tape.
This is the side two, and I'm still talking with Frank Joe. It's still Wednesday, April the 16th, and we are talking in generalities about various things. And Frank, we were talking about when you were proud that you were an Indian. Is there any other thing that has come about that you can think of that made you feel real proud that you were an Indian?
I can say, Mr. Hucks, other than what I've been reading, so I guess that was the only thing that mostly being proud of.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some downfalls of some of the Choctaw people, and see if we can get a little input here about that. You know, the old saying is that the Choctaw people were the truest people on earth, and they were known as not to tell stories or not to tell lies and this type of thing. And and in working with them like I have, I find this is mostly true, except when maybe a person gets to drinking a little bit and this type of thing. Would you say that drinking is one of the biggest problems?
Mr. Hucks, I believe that relating to what you've been saying, I guess it'll be that way for a long time. Now that even if school students, plus some of these boys, boys and girls, been fooling around with, it's I don't think it's something we're gonna control. It's something that we're not gonna get rid of, I believe. Cause right now it's in family matter now, to where the family can has a problem with that. And I remember one time that my aunt told me that she's not going to fool with them drinking anymore, but now she's an alcoholic. So even if we have this alcoholic program that we have going on down here, I don't think it's doing any good like they want it to. They may think that they're having it controlled, but the way it looks right now, I think it'll be better if it stays that way. And that, I guess, even if we have many Indian people being killed along the highways, even at home, but on the other hand, I don't think we'll be able to control that alcoholic deal until maybe in the 1990s somewhere.
You got any suggestions on what we ought to do?
only suggestions I can say for people down here is to stay away from, if you don't drink, it's better that you stay away from. I've come from a pretty good family on my side, and I'm hoping that I can have it the way they brought me up, so I won't have any problems.
Did you, when did you ever become aware of prejudice?
Well, I'd say around when that was in 1963, I believe it was, when I guess the British people over in the England area sent some boys down here with long hairs, and I guess we tried to imitate them by wearing the long hairs. It was the time when I first noticed that the people, the white people, were being prejudiced against the Indian people, and also white, the black people down here. One time, I wore long hair, and I went to this drugstore, and I got kicked out because I was told that I had a filthy hair, and that I was an Indian. They didn't want me in there. So after that, I came on to another place called Mary's Coffee Shop. I went to the front door down there. I was met by the manager down there that told me that I was to go out in the back and eat with the black people down there. And that's the only time that I start noticing that we were being prejudiced of what we were in. So I guess that's the only thing I can remember. That was in 1963, I believe it was.
Has things changed much now, since then?
Well, I'd say mostly things are changing now. Now that I can get in there without, mostly, but not all the places down in Philadelphia won't let you in there, but I guess I could say we can get in mostly where the people's going in now, such as restaurants, cafe, everything. So it's not the same as it was 7 years back.
Was this true only in Philadelphia? Or?
Well, I could say that we are still being there. Imagine it's been that way for some other Indian people too. So, but I guess Philadelphia isn't the only place that has a place to speak.
Well, when you go to a larger city like Jackson, do you notice any difference?
No, all I know is we've been looked at. But other than that, we don't have any problem of being kicked out. Even if we go into a restaurant, we are not being neglected or anything as being the Indian people. So I kind of like that, other than what we had over in Philadelphia.
Are the people more friendly to you at the other places?
I guess they are. And looking back over in Philadelphia, they're being nice to you because you're spending your money down there. And after you finish spending your money down there, they don't care where you go.
Well, when you were younger, did your parents ever say you can't go in such and such a place, or you can't go to a certain place?
Well, they told us that we can go into different places, but the only thing they was told us not to do was steal anything or do something that can put us in trouble. So, but other than that, we We didn't have any problem of going into a store and buy something we wanted.
Do you do most of your shopping in Philadelphia now?
No. Only time I needed things that I needed at home is when I buy one in Philadelphia. But other than that, I have to go over to Meridian, Mississippi, in order to get mostly all the clothes, it's a furniture.
Do you find this true with most of the Choctaw people? They buy out of Philadelphia or in Philadelphia?
Well, if I guess it's both, I guess. But I guess mostly when I'm in Meridian, I notice I've seen many Indian people down there. So I guess they mostly buy things from up there in Meridian other than what they've been getting down to Philadelphia.
What about the haircut situation?
Well, that place, I got kicked out too, Mr. Huck. So I imagine it's that way now. So I don't hardly get any haircut down here no more. Like I said, I go up to Meridian to get a haircut. We can go into that place where they have a barbershop, but we don't get kicked out or anything.
So you do most of your shopping and so forth in Meridian, yeah, rather than Philadelphia. Well, there's some necessities that you have to buy in Philadelphia, though.
Yeah, something only when we need it. But
What about, you say your wife is from Redwater community, in Carthage. Is Carthage, city of Carthage, similar to the city of Philadelphia?
In some way, I guess it is, but I guess it's mostly being I don't think it's the same thing as I thought it was. They wanted my money or.
But did you and your wife, do y'all ever talk about this buying situation?
Yes, we talked about one time, and whenever we want something, we can't hardly find it down here, so we have to go up there sometimes and get it, you know. And I guess we get most of the things for a reasonable price up there, other than what we've been getting in Philadelphia. So
Do you feel like sometimes you overcharged in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I guess so. Cause one time my wife bought something, and she knew she was a good mathematician, I guess, in her background. So she was looking at this person here, and she was adding this. She had a blouse or something that she bought one time. And this sales lady added up the prices on there, and she she overcharged her about at least $2 and something, and she was looking at her doing that, and in her mind, she figured out the numbers and all that, and it turned out that she was to pay $8 and something. She was supposed to wind up $11 and something on there, and she caught her doing that. And only thing she did was that she complained to the manager. Manager wouldn't do anything, so she threw that thing on the floor. She walked in. I remember that one time. I believe that was in a Clark's department store. So I imagine it's been that way for with the other stores. Like if you buy foods on credit, I guess it's exactly mostly, I guess. Other than the people that you can trust, yeah.
Frank, let's talk a little bit here about the BIA. Ever since you can remember, I'm sure that there has been a BIA here mm-hmm. in Philadelphia. Has your dad ever said anything about when BIA first came in here?
No, he didn't know anything about it. I understood that he had never been to school or never been told anything about the BIA business. So I imagine he found out when they first started school down there. And that, so I don't know if he ever fooled with the BIA business or other than what he's been doing.
You never did hear him talk about BIA or say anything about BIA?
No.
How it was helping the Choctaw people?
Yeah. No, I never heard him say anything about it.
What do you think about BIA?
I think whoever had it the promises that were made, like running the BIA school without costing us anything, I believe that was the progress that somebody made on that deal with the government and all that. So I guess mostly we can get what we wanted without any cost while we are in school, other than what the public school's been paying for pencil and everything.
Well, how do you people feel about the BIA?
Well, I guess the other day my parents told me that it was better that the BIA be the one to taking care of the school instead of trying to take over the school, the whole school that they've been doing for a long time. But they told me that it'll be better if the BIA is to be the one to run that school. That way things will be run better. They told us that several years from now that things going to change, and that what we had good down here, it won't be the same several years back then.
When people think of BIA, they think mainly of the schools.
Well, it's some type of building that takes care of all the things that Indian people have been needing, and I guess they don't say much to them, but
they don't talk much about it. What about the medical services, the hospital? Do people talk about that much?
Yes, even though they sometimes complain about the doctors being on training, you know. So, but other than that, they don't like the hospital being moved to 8 miles outside of Philadelphia. So I don't know what they'd be doing there. They do not go down to the Sugar County Hospital.
Have you all your life, have you heard of Indian doctors?
Well, I don't think I ever did, other than what we have as what they call the witch doctor.
Are there many Indian people still using Indian doctors?
Yes, we have some here and there. But it's something that they've been doing it for quite a while though.
But does each community have one or two that they consider Indian doctors in those communities?
Not all communities, I don't believe, but only Boca Chica and Pearl River has very few. But other than that, mostly all the doctors that I know have died because of old age. And so it's about 7 years from now, it'll get to where we won't have any witch doctors or anything. Other than we have a doctor in the hospital.
Do you ever remember any home remedies for anything?
Yes, we have what you call it comes on some type of tree now that they can use. Like if you burn yourself, they can use that to heal that. But I don't think the people over in the hospital are using that though. It's never been getting to where they can practice with that too. So. But the Indian people have been doing that for a long time.
You don't know what that is, do you?
No.
You don't know of any other thing that they've come up with for any kind of hurts or diseases or anything that they come up with something?
They have something for, I believe it was a high blood pressure. I couldn't figure out what the name was, even though they taken out a special tree.
Did they make that stuff?
Yes, sir.
It's made.
Mm.
Did you hear this? Do you hear this today, or did you hear back when you were younger?
Well, on this medicine deed?
Yeah.
I still hear about it now and then. I noticed that some of these people are making them. Other than what they have in the pharmacy.
So they still have a good number of home remedies that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of them seem to help.
Yeah, it does.
Did you ever hear your parents talk about that?
Yes, sir. My father had some type of, there was something wrong with his urine, and he won the witch doctor. He died 7 years back now, but he came down there one time and made out this remedies for him, and a few days later, he went back to normal. Without going to the hospital. So, whatever they're making now is still working.
Yeah. But you never know what that was?
No, huh?